The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. So today, Rossi and I are going to be reviewing the movie I Swear, and yes, I do swear a lot, but this is going to be a movie that I think you guys will really enjoy. We had the pleasure of actually getting a screener copy from Sony to be able to review this movie, but Rossi, I know that you want to talk about what Tourette's is. As a matter of fact, this is about this is based on a true story about a guy named John. John has Tourette's. I'll break down the synopsis in a few minutes. But Rossi, I'll let you go on ahead and talk about what Tourette's is, so that way people can be more aware of it.
Right. So you guys, Tourette's is a nervous system disorder. You tend to have tics, which is any type of eye movement, face movement, mouth movement. It can also be very verbal. You have no control of those tics. They found it to be kind of genetic. There is no cure for it, but they have found, you know, they've come a long way. They found devices that can kind of help, but there is no cure at the moment. So you can have screaming outbursts, curse, say inappropriate things. And it's sad because there's nothing you could do about it. So it's, you know, you really want to be educated, you know, about Tourette's, because if you run into someone like that and you don't know, you're thinking that they're being very inappropriate, and it can lead to a lot of problems. But it is really sad to have something like that.
It really is. It's sad to not to have control over your own thoughts or emotions, and then you just have a random outburst for no apparent reason and have no control over it.
Right. And you tend to be like OCD. Oh, I'm sorry. You tend to be OCD, you know, hyperactive disorder. You tend to have a lot of those issues because of the Tourette's. So, and like John said, we'll get into it more with this film.
Yes, because they actually do break it down really well with this.
Yes.
And it's also very respectful towards anyone that has Tourette's as well. So that's something else I really enjoyed about this film. Right. But let me go ahead and break this down. So I Swear is a biological dramedy based on a true story of John Davidson, a Scottish man who became a prominent advocate for Tourette's syndrome awareness. The film follows his journey from struggling teenager in the 1980s to an adult managing involuntary tics, obscenity, and bullying. So what I want to talk about is this. I love the fact that this is actually in the early 80s, and it opens up with Blue Monday. But I also like how there's like some type of distortion with it, because I actually feel like within the distortion itself, it actually feels like how John's body is actually just as distorted as that song is. So it's actually a representation of his character.
Right.
And that's something I really love, was the placement of the song and the distortion of the song and about how they cut it. I thought it was very perfectly placed.
Right.
I thought that was really good. And then this is also a time before anyone even knew what Tourette's was and knew how to handle it.
Right. The film opening up, I agree with you on that. You know, John's family didn't know that he had Tourette's. He was maybe 11, 12 years old. He comes from this really small town in Scotland. So no one in that town knows of it. And so when you see him, you notice that he's doing little things. Did you notice that, John? Little movements, you know, neck movements. And, you know, I think his family thought he was messing around. And, you know, as it progresses, you notice that he's losing more control and they don't know. And what's sad about it is you know, him playing soccer and him having no control. And he was a really good soccer player, him having no control over this. His mom and dad doesn't know. They felt he was throwing the game, and his dad was really invested in him playing soccer. He was a good athlete. I felt really sorry for him because he didn't even know what was going on or what it was. And you would notice that he would try to control it, you know, to where he would mention that he's exhausted at times, because it is exhausting trying to control tics or movements like that. It's a lot. So really I felt bad for him. This is a really good film, though, but I really felt bad for him.
I did, too, because here's the thing. He said it was really like putting on a mask and trying to figure out how to control the tics. Yeah. And as someone that has ADHD, I try to control myself to where people don't know I have ADHD. Right. And it's also exhausting. So I can relate on that kind of level with him.
Right.
But here's the thing. I can actually control I am impulsive sometimes, but here's the thing with him, he's not able to really have that control. Right. And stuff, which makes you even feel more for him. And yes, he is a great athlete. We actually see that on the soccer field. His father had a scout that was coming down to see him.
Yes.
And then he's like, John, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing? And he thinks that he's just throwing the game, like you said, Rossi. And then even at the dinner table and stuff, he accidentally spits on his dad, spits up the food on his dad. And his dad thinks he's doing it on purpose. And the thing is, John is not even realizing what's even going on in his own self, in his own body. And they're over there criticizing him, judging him, making him go away from the table where the fireplace is.
Right.
It is just sad to see him so isolated from his own family.
Right.
And stuff that you would think that they would actually be more caring. But at the same time, though, you actually have to remember this is a time and place before the research, proper research was for Tourette's. So they didn't know how to control the narrative of how to go about this. And it's a lot to take in, especially with the father and then also to his sisters, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just broke my heart to see him go through that.
Yeah, I felt like I could relate to him in a way because I don't know if you know, but I have epilepsy. And I had epilepsy as a little girl. I was diagnosed with my sister when we were like 4 or 5 years old, and no one knew what that was. So for me, watching the film was, although, you know, my situation was something where I could grow out of it after a teenager in my 20s, or you can have it, you know, for the rest of your life, you know. But at the time I had it, you know, I had grand mal seizures, so I could be at school and passing out on the concrete and scaring the other little kids because they don't know what's going on. And I remember, you know, trying to control that because there's a feeling that you get when you're getting ready to have a seizure and trying to control it because you're at school or you're somewhere public. And I remember I would go hide somewhere if I knew it was coming on because it was embarrassing, you know, and kids tend to look at you weird, you know, when you come back to school the next day. What happened? Why were you know what I mean? So it really hit me, you know, hit home with me because being in school, I remember being gawked at like that, you know, or, you know, John was very big on it's not a disability. Do not say I have a disability. And I remember being like that, like it's not a disability. It's just something that you can't control. It's a, you know, a brain, something with your brain that's just not working together. So this movie really, really just was wow for me. Yeah.
Same here for me. It was a wow moment for me. Even if you don't have Tourette's, if you have some type of learning disability or anything like that, you can relate to it in some kind of way, which I really appreciate with this film. And, you know, another thing too is like one day he was just a normal kid. And then next thing you know it, he wakes up, he's trying to read a book. He can't even do that in class. At first you're thinking, okay, is he having some type of speech problem or something at first? And then you realize, oh snap, he's got Tourette's. There's something more going on here. But another thing too is, I don't know if you were doing this or not. It's like, should I be laughing or should I not be laughing?
Because
I was questioning my own self. But I like how this movie does a smart thing here where you're seeing him in the group therapy part later on in the film.
Yeah.
And he's even saying it. It's okay to laugh.
Yeah.
Because I even laugh at my own self on some of the things I say and do. But there are moments that you're not supposed to laugh.
Yeah.
And no, I get yeah. that. And I like how they bring that balance here, because it's making me check my own motives of like, should I be laughing? Should I not be laughing?
Right.
And the parts that where people are criticizing him, those are the parts that I don't laugh at. But the parts that I see him laughing at himself and stuff is the parts that I find funny.
Okay. I think the interactions with Dot, I think a lot of their interactions, it was funny, you know? And I must say this, I thought it was the sweetest thing. I don't know if you were feeling this. I think we talked about it when he first met Dot and her family. Dot's son is Murray, ends up reconnecting with John a little bit later as they got older. So he became a familiar face around Dot's house. Obviously, he was getting something, you know, out of that household that he wasn't getting at his household. And his mom was, you know, I feel for her, because you're dealing with something that you don't know what it is. The people around town doesn't know what it is. And it's very embarrassing, and it can be taxing as well. But, you know, when he was in a kitchen with Dot, and she said, you know, John, unfortunately, one thing that we don't do around here is say sorry. You know, you're not going to say sorry. And I love that, because if you notice, he'd always be immediately, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry for that. Yeah.
It's just for me, and this is why I didn't like his mom so much. And I understand it's a different era and stuff like that.
Right.
But you're putting him through abuse in a sense of always having to apologize for something that he can't control.
Right.
It's like 13 years later, I was thinking to myself, shouldn't you know something more about your son within those 13 years period, just even though Tourette's is kind of new, but at the same time, though, didn't you do no research on him or anything like that? It took his friend's mom, Dottie, which is the most caring woman. She's diagnosed with cancer, for crying out loud.
Right.
And she takes him in, and you know what? You mentioned this in the backstage area about this, Rossi, where he's inside the bathroom.
Yeah.
And he's like trying to keep himself together, keep himself calm. He doesn't want to screw anything up.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that he likes his friend. He doesn't want to not have friends, because he knows what it's like not to have friends.
Right.
And then his anxiety is going, the tics are happening. And then the mirror happens. He breaks the mirror. I'm like, this is it. It's over.
Me too. I'm like, this poor guy just found a great friend, great family. And he broke the mirror, you know? And I think for him, you know, with him, the more nervous he gets, if he's in an uncomfortable situation, it's like the tics got even more increased, you know, it increased more, you know, he'd have more outbursts. And him in that bathroom trying to control himself and to keep it together, breaking the mirror, you know, leaving the house, just kind of, you know, let me go on and get out of here.
Smoke.
Yeah. Yeah. Go take a cigarette. And her coming out and like, what are you doing? And the conversation that they have, I fell in love with her. And I do want to agree with you, though, about the mom. You're very true. 13 years later, you didn't, nothing changed. You know, I felt like she was looking at him as it was a disability. He was never going to get over it. There was like, she's exhausted. She's tired by this time. And I think that if he would have stayed home, there would have been no room for growth. There would have been no job. I mean, she was looking at him like, you know, I need to keep you inside, kind of. And with Dot, it was like a whole new world opened up for him. He did so much with her. She was so kind, and she dealt with mental illness. And I love that she was really curious about what medication are you on? Remember, she wanted to know immediately, what are you taking? Because his mom was just, take the medication. We're not going to look for nothing new. This is what you need to do. With Dot, it was, no, let's look at this. And she knew about the medication he was taking. So telling him to stop that, you know?
Right. In a way, though, it's kind of like tough love. It's like, you don't always need to be on medication.
Right.
Medication is not the answer to this. You need to have some self-control. Right. I'll let you be on the medicine for now, but let's try and come out with some common ground, some type of way to where you can deal with this.
Right.
And then there's even this time, this other moment in the supermarket, but I was actually surprised because he winds up smacking Dottie in the face. I'm like, that's it. That's over. We're not going anywhere.
And Dottie goes, I thought she was going to be like, we're done.
Right. Me too. I'm like, she goes, well, maybe I shouldn't have just stood on the opposite side of you.
Right.
And she just kind of joked with them. I'm like, yeah. Dang, this woman is tough. She got cancer. Yeah. She has a kid. Yeah. She's willing to. Here's the thing that I like about her. Even though she has her own problems, she's putting her needs before his. And that is something that he didn't have at his own home.
Yes.
You know, and that's something. And then even when something doesn't quite work out for him, she's still there for him.
Yeah. Absolute unconditional love. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything more, you know, and he needed that. He really needed that guidance. And remember, he always warns people, you know, about which side is best to stand on him, because he knows that one arm is just it's a problem. You know what I mean? It's just a problem.
It's like Mike Tyson with a hook. But sorry.
Like when he hit Tommy's dog, and Tommy telling him, if you ever hit my dog again, I'll effing kill you. You know, and you know, honestly, didn't you feel at times you were nervous for other people because he couldn't control it? And so, like with the dog, for instance, as soon as he walked in there, I was like,
for the interview,
For the interview, I saw that dog, him making the tea, and I didn't know what was gonna go wrong.
Me too. I was like, either he's gonna burn his future boss, or something was gonna happen with the dog. I felt more nervous for the dog because I'm a dog lover.
Yeah.
Too. Like, don't get me wrong, I feel bad if he burns his boss, but the dog.
Yeah.
And then he tells him, if you do that again, I'm going to kill you myself.
Right.
And then it gives him the ground rules of like, okay, I don't need to do what I just did.
Right.
Because there's going to be repercussions later on. And I also like how he thinks he screwed up the whole entire interview.
Yeah.
He goes, stupid. Keeps on slapping himself.
Right.
But I'm not going to go into spoiler territory with this part. Yeah. But there's one certain this scene that happens later on. There's two things that happens. There's a celebration, not just for John, but also for another character in this film.
Yes.
And it is just fantastic. I felt just as much tears of joy for both of them, both of these characters.
Right. Listen, I cried throughout this film. I cried tears of happiness. I cried with John, you know. I cried with Dot. This film was just so touching. And you know, just the thought of doing a film about Tourette's, you know what I mean? You don't think about those type of things. You don't realize that people are dealing with so many type of different disabilities or whatever you want to call it, you know, but you never think about Tourette's. I remember watching like a True Life on MTV years ago. And one of their episodes was, I have Tourette's. And that's the first time I ever heard about it. And it featured young adults dealing with Tourette's. So to see them have a movie about John Davidson, his life, was just like, I thought it was brilliant, because you just, it's kind of like a buried thing that you don't talk about, you know? I appreciate that. And you learn so much about it. I do want to mention, though, he's very smart. He's a very smart guy. He's a good worker. You know, most people, I think, don't think past that, you know, don't think maybe that a person with Tourette's could reach the levels that John was able to reach, you know, to do well in school, all these other things, because this is just such a core issue that they have. But no, he was very smart. He was a very good worker. He valued work. He was very independent. Thank you, Dot, for that, you know, giving him independence. His own place, you know, the first time didn't go well.
Yeah, no.
You know, you know, got a little taken advantage of. Thank God it was sugar. That's all I'm going to say. But, you know.
Right. You know. It happens. But you know what, though? I like how Dot doesn't judge him or criticize him. Yeah. Okay, we had a little had a little bump in the road. Yeah. It's okay to mess up.
Yeah.
She doesn't say, oh, how dare you do this? You're not qualified to do this anymore. I'm taking you back to my house. No, she lets him be grown as a man and become a man. And I also want to talk about this. We talked about John's boss, right?
Yes.
So I like how the back and forth between them.
Oh.
And I like how John talks about his tics, right?
Yeah.
Because he kisses a lamppost if it's not straight.
That's right.
Running his hand across boiling water four times or else someone will die. He goes, if I don't do that, I think you're going to die. He goes, what the F? I don't know. I just do it. I don't know if you're going to die or not.
Right.
But I just do it.
I felt like it was a dad, you know, that he didn't have, because being that, you know, John had these tics, you know, his dad couldn't, I just found that just horrible. That just absolutely horrible. And the way it was explained to him and the kids, just, this is what happened. He's not coming home. And you know, as a kid, well, the last thing that happened was me with the soccer situation. So you're going to blame it on yourself. John reached different levels in his life. I mean, he did very well. I mean, they made a movie about it. But I love
the opening scene, though, when he's getting ready to meet the queen, and he actually says the C word.
And when he told dude, like, you know, how did it go? Oh, I called in the effing, you know, and he's like, oh, John, no, you didn't. Yeah, I did. But by that point, obviously, you know, he had done speeches. He had been around. So people knew about him. But who talks to the queen like that? The fact that out of all days, that's a day that you'd hope you would bust before you say anything. And he couldn't help it. He couldn't help it.
Because he's just nervous. And it's just part of his nervous tics, you know? But I just want to talk about this too. You know, just him having those nervous tics of, like, you know, of all days, it's going to happen now with the queen.
Right.
But he was able to laugh it off because the queen was able to laugh it off. So he felt even more comfortable. Right. But I also like how the fact he goes into the whole entire deal of, I'm scared of libraries because they scare me because I have to be quiet.
Yes. Yes. You know, and yeah, because you never saw him go into libraries. He liked noisy areas. I don't blame him. I mean, could you imagine? He already knew what it would be. There's nothing. He couldn't control it. No one was going to understand it. It would have been another situation where he's in trouble. He's being thrown out of a place or someone's misunderstanding the situation. And even when he tried to explain, you know, I'm sorry, it's I can't control it, whatever. When Dot came up with the idea because of all that, or it was Tommy actually that came up with the idea of, why don't you educate people? Go to the police station. Let them know what's going on. Get out there. Talk to people because they don't know. And that not knowing, you know, had gotten John Davison in a lot of problems in the movie. Then you'll see those things that happens to him. Absolutely. Some things were just come on. Absolutely brutal. But if people don't know that the insult that you threw at them was just a tick, it was a problem that you couldn't control. All right. But being that no one knew that, they took it as him starting shit. Like he's trying to start something, or he's purposely being rude to women, or, you know, things that he would say about himself, you know?
Right. He even said something to Dottie about being a P word, you know, and that about
Yes.
Well, and I also like how she repeats it back to him as well. So I love that moment. Then there's also, I love the fact that he started his own support group. We talked about that.
Oh yeah.
But I love the fact that John is teaching others about his disability. And well, I don't want to call it a disability because he doesn't like to call it a disability. But I like the fact that he's letting people know about the condition that he has. Right.
Yeah.
And that they're not alone. And I love when the parents show up with this one girl.
Oh god.
That and they're in the back seat of the car.
That was great. Yes, I died.
That was hilarious. And the parents are like, should we go on ahead and stop this? No, let's see the process. Let's just. That,
the best scene of this poor girl who too is going through it, hasn't met anyone. By this point, you know, John's name is getting out there. Parents bring her to go meet John. She doesn't want to get out the car. He gets in a car. And they just, the back and forth to where she eventually became comfortable with him. But when they shoot the scene from outside of the car and you just hear the two of them inside the car from the parents' point of view, it was just great because you just heard them yelling all this stuff, saying all these things. I mean, both of them, that was a really funny scene. But what happened from it, you know, helping the young lady to feel more comfortable, you know,
and
to
be yourself.
That you're not the only one. And then come to find out, when he has the group that he ended up talking to, I thought that was a funny scene as well, because he's trying to give a speech and he knows, he understands, he continues with the speech. He'll take a time to, like, you know, breather, but you hear this room of
this chatter,
the chatter. I thought that was a funny scene, but a loving scene as well, because this group of kids came together and needed to see, I'm not the only one from where I'm from, you know?
Exactly.
The education that the parents were able to get, because remember, parents that were dealing with this were isolated. They felt like they were the only one. So to come together and get with a group of people that understand you and parents that they can talk to and trade stories with, and even older people with Tourette's telling the younger people, here are some things that I do, like the guy that with the drummer, you know, here's some things that I do to help me deal and help you get by. And I thought that was just great. And the dating, I always wondered about that. What about how does dating happen for them?
That's what I was wondering too in this movie. I'm like, does he have, and I like the fact that they don't do a love interest for this.
Yes.
Because at first I was like, is this girl going to be the love interest for
me
him?
Too.
But I was also thinking the same thing as well. I like, how does relationships happen? Do you date someone that also has Tourette's who actually understands you? Or do you go with somebody else that hopefully they understand your condition and be with them, you know?
Yeah.
Because you actually have to tell them, hey, look, I have Tourette's. Sometimes I actually have loud outbursts and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's how you have to do it. And yeah, I was wondering the whole thing. I was like, do they find someone for each other? Or do they date with someone normal or whatever? Because is it just like dating your own self if you have that condition?
Right.
You know, but still, I really thought this movie was very well done.
Oh, gosh.
I thought it was a perfect way of actually explaining Tourette's. And they also explain the science of it. They break down the science of it and reading the books of Tourette's and learning how to handle someone that has Tourette's, just as someone is also learning about their condition as well.
Right.
So I have to give them props for this, you know.
Yeah.
This is actually a really well thought out movie.
Right.
Really a tearjerker. It's a feel good movie in a sense.
It is. It really is. It's like, for me, I don't know with you, but as soon as it came on, the movie starts and you get into the movie, for me, instantly, I know this is a good movie. This is a well put together movie, written well. This is going to be a good movie. And this movie was 2 hours and 7 minutes.
I didn't even feel the runtime.
And I didn't even feel it. Like, I was so invested in wanting to see what happens with John, what his everyday life, him growing, that you don't even pay attention. It goes by so fast. I really enjoyed this film. The actor did a great job. I mean, to have a role like that, this is a difficult role. And he...
Yes, he did. And matter of fact, he actually played in Game of Thrones.
Did he?
Yeah. He is such a great actor. But yeah, his name is Robert Armaio. He's a fantastic actor. He also played in the Lord of the Rings TV series on Amazon.
Wow.
He's turned into a great actor, and I can't wait to see what else he has in store for us. Well, it won British Independent Film Award for BAFTA.
He won. Yeah, he won. Robert Armaio won. Best actor in leading role.
Best casting.
Best casting, Lauren Evans. They did pretty good. 2025 film, I swear.
Yes.
Several awards. Most notably, the 2026 BAFTA Awards. Yeah, so they did pretty good.
Yes.
Yes.
And deservedly so.
Yes, absolutely. And the young man that played him, the both parts when he played him as a kid as well. I mean, they just did it. The acting was great. This was a good film. I recommend everyone to go and see this film when it's released.
It's actually coming out on April 24th of this year in the U.S.
Nice.
So, yeah. And I hope everyone goes out and sees it, because I definitely recommend that you guys take a look at this.
Definitely. Thank you, Sony, for sharing a movie with us. Wow. What a gem. Yes,
I agree. Sony, thank you so much for allowing us to go ahead and watch this movie.
Yes.
To really let us just share some light on Tourette's, and also too, just let us be entertained by this movie.
Yes.
So thank you so much for that. Thank you for the screener. We look forward to doing more movies with you. And yeah. So everyone, I hope everyone has a great day whenever you watch this. And we'll catch you guys on the next one, guys. Don't forget to smash that like button, subscribe button. We'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Later.